How mental health problems are labelled is a huge issue, and some say it may also reinforce stigma and prejudice.
On TV, you might hear of a mass murder or a murder somewhere or rape somewhere. Always make a silent prayer. Please don't let this person have the label schizophrenia.
Sandy Jeffs has been living with schizophrenia for nearly 40 years. In that time, she's faced considerable stigma about her illness. Schizophrenia is a mental disorder, characterised by confused thinking and auditory hallucinations.
So the voices came upon me slowly and mutedly and in a very silent way, and then they sort of built and built and became louder and louder until I had the big crash and the big breakdown, which resulted in hospitalisation and ultimately a diagnosis.
Schizophrenia is a poorly understood condition. The causes aren't fully known. Symptoms can differ widely between patients, and there's long been a question mark over its validity as a discrete psychological condition in the medical profession. And outside of the medical establishment, it's never quite been able to shake a completely inaccurate, yet popular myth.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of misunderstanding. So, for example, a lot of people think that it means split personality, when of course it doesn't mean that.
Jack Heath is the CEO of Sane Australia. And he reckons the problem is the label schizophrenia itself.
The issue with the term schizophrenia is that it causes enormous stigma, perpetuates misunderstanding, and the result of that is that people don't get help early on. So it has enormous impact in terms of individuals who are living with schizophrenia, but it also means that people who haven't had a diagnosis are probably less likely to have that diagnosis made because they're going to be less likely to go and see a doctor, a psychologist or psychiatrist.
It seems like a pretty wild idea, but there's a precedent here.
What we've seen is that internationally, when people have changed the name and accompanied that with an education program, that we've seen significant reductions in the level of stigma. And perhaps the most notable example of this is in Japan. And what they saw there was that doctors were more likely to talk about the disorder with the patient after they changed the name to integration disorder.
In 1993, the National Federation of Families with Mentally Ill in Japan began to lobby for a less stigmatizing term than Saishin Bunretsu Byo, which loosely translated means mind-split disease. The stigma around that term, as with schizophrenia in English, was pretty great. A 1999 study showed that only 7% of Japanese psychiatrists informed all their patients of a schizophrenia diagnosis, fearing negative impacts on treatment adherence and outcomes. In 2002, Togo Shitsho Sho, or Integration Dysregulation Syndrome, was adopted as the new term for schizophrenia in Japanese. 3 years later, a survey of psychiatrists revealed 86% found the new term easier to explain to their patients, and 82% found the term more useful when it came to ensuring patient compliance and stigma reduction. Now, these weren't population-wide studies, and follow-ups looking at the Japanese name change experience have been a bit mixed. Jack Heath from Sane Australia doesn't view a name change as a magic bullet. He acknowledges that a shift would have to be combined with educational and anti-stigma campaigns to achieve any real and lasting effects.
We've had significant investments in terms of stigma reduction around depression, but we've done virtually nothing around the psychotic illnesses. And this is an area where we need to make substantial investment, not just because it makes life better for those people who are living with the diagnosis, but also because it means that by reducing the stigma, people get help early on. And late help is always expensive help. And it's actually around the psychotic illnesses and also major depression where the great costs are borne from the mental health system.
Jack Heath. But not everyone's convinced about a change in nomenclature for schizophrenia.
Well, I think I can understand why clinicians and caregivers and consumers are frustrated with the name, because it's an old label that really applies to previous centuries where they thought there was a split between feeling and thinking.
John McGrath is a professor of epidemiology and developmental neurobiology at the Queensland Brain Institute at UQ. And he reckons it's not a question of name change or even public education, but of simple research.
We deeply know that this is an interim label. Schizophrenia is a poorly understood group of brain disorders. But in the meantime, scientists are trying to pull it apart, try to get more pure types, and that's what we really need now. I think the main priority is to uncover the causes of serious mental illnesses like schizophrenia and get better treatments. And I think that should be the focus rather than a change of name.
McGrath also, rightly, points to the nature of linguistic change. It's not something that usually happens from the top down.
If consumers and caregivers want to have a new label, that's fine. But I think the more essential, substantive issue is we just have to get better at treating it. We have to do the heavy lifting of finding the causes. And if we can treat the illness and make it more understandable, then I think that stigma will just evaporate.
But the idea that the stigma surrounding schizophrenia will simply evaporate isn't one that resonates with Sandy Jeffs.
But it's fine for him to say he's against the naming change, but he hasn't carried the label himself, though, as well. If you do carry the label, you are aware of the stigma around it and how people will view you when you say, I have schizophrenia.
There's a reason why all this is coming to a head now. In 2017, the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse at the World Health Organization will present the 11th revision of the International Classification of Disease, the ICD-11. A recent paper in schizophrenia research called this 2017 deadline perhaps one of the last opportunities to consign this controversial and stigmatizing label to history. For Sandy Jeffs and many others who have been living with the label for decades, it may be the last chance.
And of course, you're also aware that when you're reading the paper or seeing a headline or seeing the media, the word bandied around, you feel like you feel duty-bound to yet again defend the illness with which you live and the label with that you carry. And that gets draining sometimes. And you sort of think, how long do I have to keep fighting the battle to make people aware that we aren't all monsters and terrible people?
And that was made by Tiger Webb, who is the Health Report's producer. I'm Norman Swan. See you next week.